I'm Mike Salem, Pastor Salem's son. I'm so thankful for having a loving, godly father and humbled to be a part of this CWH family and carry on my dad's desire of sharing the saving grace of Jesus Christ.
I'm Bill Edwards, president of the Christian Worship Hour. I've been fortunate to have been alongside CWH for decades. Pastor Salem had been my pastor for 63 years. I experienced firsthand his passionate and steadfast dedication to bringing God's message to people around the world.
We are both thrilled to be with you today and extend our thanks to all of you.
Your prayers and financial gifts are needed for this precious ministry to continue to communicate Pastor Salem's messages. They reveal the profound truth of the Bible to those who need to hear it and respond to God's call. Please consider supporting CWH so we can make an impact together.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just always so happy when the weekend comes and we can all get together all over the world. Just think of it, all over the world. And we're drawn together by one person, Jesus Christ, Son of God, and who is God, second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we gather around the feet of Jesus. And someday, maybe soon, we'll all gather together in heaven, all those who are born again, all those who have accepted Jesus, all those who are the family of God, and we'll join together around the throne of God, and we'll see each other, and we'll talk to each other, and oh, I can't wait. But until then, let's look at Psalm 27, where the psalmist opens by saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And that's what we're praying for you, dear friends, that you'll be a part of the family of God. And so let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful salvation we have in the dear Lord Jesus. And I'm just praying, we're praying today that everybody at the sound of this service will open their heart, if they haven't done that, open their heart to you, Jesus, and receive you as their Lord. Oh, that Jesus will be honored. So bless us in this service, and we thank you, Jesus. In the Savior's name we pray, amen. And now Jan's going to sing a song for us, "Count Your Blessings." And God bless you, Jan.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Well, thank you, Jan, and that is good advice. Count your blessings. Have you ever done this? Got a pencil and paper and start writing down all the blessings that God has given us? Just do that sometime and put on the spiritual law of blessings, like peace with God and His presence with us and a home eternal. And oh, there you just will surprise you what the Lord hath done. And you know what? God is so good. He sends His blessings on the bad people as well as the good people. Some of these people, they take God's name in vain. They have no time for God, and God just blesses them anyway. He's such a wonderful God. But if you don't receive Jesus, there'll come a day when the blessings will end, and you'll have to face an angry God because you rejected His Son. And like the Bible says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And God is angry if we don't accept His Son when we come to the end of life. And we don't have Jesus, we're going to have to face a God. It says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So you have to have Jesus. And you say, oh, I want Jesus. I want Him right now. All right, what you do is you just tell, say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. You just do that. Well, we got our letters. Oh, we like the letters and we read all of them. And so I hope that more of you will write and we read every letter we get. And maybe you can send a gift along with it because we got to pay our way just like anybody else. And if we don't have enough money, then we got to drop stations and we don't want to do that. And so far in 40 years, we haven't had to drop a station because we didn't have enough money. God always provided for us until we're all over the world by television and shortwave radio. They say shortwave radio, we cover 90% of the world's population with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you for your gifts and your help. I'll give you the address in just a minute. But let's look at some of the letters. Here is one from Washburn, Wisconsin. I am currently incarcerated. I am concerned because I've been feeling sad, hopeless, and depressed, sometimes a little suicidal. I wanted to ask you for some reading material, not just for me, but my three inmates also in my cell block with me. Please, we all appreciate it all so much. We watch your network every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Thank you for your time. God's peace. And so here are these gentlemen, they're writing in. And I'm going to tell you, we answer every letter we get. If it's a letter that's asking a question or something like this, whether you need help, we'll answer that letter. And I know one prison, a federal prison in the United States, where we have 14 different people that have written to us. And so we do have you on our hearts. And we sent literature to these men. And they can get together, and the three of them together, and have a little Bible study. Here's a letter from Huron, South Dakota. Oh, listen to this one. This is a gentleman writing. He says, I was nothing, but I went to work for a butcher. I wanted to learn how to cut up my deer, and lo and behold, he was a Christian. Well, it took 2 months of his preaching, and finally Jesus came one day, and I knew I would want to belong to him all my life. How wonderful it is to know heaven waits for all who trust Christ, especially in times like these. I feel Jesus will come this year. Well, he might. He might come this week, or he might come before the service is over. I don't know. He'll come. But this is interesting because here's this fella and he's hunting deer and he's going to cut his deer, going to the butcher's to help him cut up his deer. And I just wanted to say, have a good time, but don't send me any of it. Because I was raised out in the Black Hills, and those deer, they ate pine cones and rosin and I don't know what all, and they weren't fit to eat. We tried to eat them, so don't send me any venison. And now I know you're going to be upset, and some of you like venison. You're going to write and tell me how you like it, and that's fine. Just be sure to send a letter, and be sure to put in an offering along with your letter. That's easy. It's easier to read your letter when you send a gift with it. But anyway, the point here is that this man, this butcher, was a Christian. And this man, the hunter, wasn't a Christian. And because, he says, 2 months, he just kept preaching about witnessing for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit talked to the man's heart, and he accepted Jesus. And isn't that wonderful? We're going to see him in heaven. And he'll have to leave his venison behind, but we'll see him in heaven. Well, here's Omaha, Nebraska. My sister died of dementia, and perhaps that is what the devil is doing to me. Please pray that he falls into the bottomless pit. How I hate him, but I will never deny my blessed Savior Jesus and love him and serve him as long as I can. And so that's wonderful that you're trusting Jesus. And let me tell you something. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, he gives you the Holy Spirit to dwell within. The minute you accept Jesus, you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit is joined, it comes within us, and Jesus said that Holy Spirit will be with us forever. As long as we live till we get into the golden gates. The gates are going to be pearls, beautiful pearls, but it's going to be that wonderful city of God. And he'll be with you all the way. So you just trust Jesus. And in John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, God tells us, greater is he that is in you than is in the world. And that is the Holy Spirit was in us and the devil is in the world. And the devil can never inhabit a Christian, never possess a Christian. Now he can tempt us like he did Job, but he can't get into your heart and your life because the Holy Spirit is there and he'll kick him out on his ear every time. So you're safe that way. Here's Sebring, Florida. Enjoy your service on our smartphones or tablet. And isn't that wonderful? So we've got it all set up so that we can get on your smartphones, we get on tablets, we got on, I don't know, so many different ways. And we're shortwave, we're on television, we're on shortwave radio. And oh, we're so glad that God has opened the door. And so many of you sent gifts and prayed. And we have to have your gifts to make it. But I know God will provide us. He knows our needs and he'll provide through his people. Abilene, Texas. I love the Bible study. And let me tell you about the Bible study. It's called The New Song. Just make a note of that, New Song. And I'll give you an address in just a few minutes on how you can get it. It's free and postpaid, and it's a little Bible study. And the Bible study for the November is why I ought to give thanks. And so you just put The New Song. We'll send it to you. I'll tell you how you can get it in just a minute. So he says, I love the Bible study. It was the greatest as always. It was the highlight of my week, and I'm not sure what I could do to help, but I will spread the word of the services you have because more people should know the Christian Worship Hour. Please send me any Bible studies that you can. They would mean so much to me, and God bless you. And so that's our little new song. And I know you're saying, oh, what does it cost to subscribe to that new song? It's free, free and postpaid. We are such good people, we send it free charge. How can you? We are so good. Here's Billings, Montana. Now listen to this letter. My mom went to be with Jesus on May 31st, 2017 at 100 years and 8 months old. 100 years and 8 months. But that's not all there is in the letter. There's something else that's just as startling or maybe more so. They go on and says, My mom went to be with Jesus on May 31st, 2017, at 100 years and 8 months. God allowed me to find Jesus at around 80 years old. Now, not many come to Jesus. When you get to be 80, you're a mutt in a rut. You're just set, and you're going to die that way and go to hell that way. But some do come to Jesus. And I don't care how old you are. I'm 96. And if I hadn't Jesus, I could pray. But I accepted Jesus when I was 10. Most people accept Jesus when they're young. But the old people can be saved. And so here's a person, some 80 years old, accepted Jesus. So it doesn't matter what your age, you can come to Jesus. Here's Gaylord, Michigan. We feel like we know you, and we want to say that we both have said that prayer to ask God into our hearts. God bless you. God loves you, and so do we. Both accepted Jesus, a husband and a wife together. Maybe they held hands, prayed to accept Jesus, and they went into the body of Christ, into the family of God with their hands joined. Wouldn't that be something? One more, and listen to this. This is Nashwalk, Minnesota. You're saying they have to let you into heaven. Yep, I said that. Now he goes on, he says, you saying they have to let you into heaven. Who has to? God? Are you giving God orders? Good luck with that preaching. God bless this man. There's a gentleman writes in. He just doesn't get it, you see. And I'll tell you why he doesn't get it. He's under law. He's not under grace. And I just bet anything that he's thinking he's going to get to heaven by being good, more good works than bad works, see. And when you get to heaven, you can never know. You can't say God's got to let you in. No, you can't say that. But because you don't know if he got enough good works or bad works, see. And then they'll weigh him out. And if you have more good works than bad works, the good works, then you can get into heaven. Now, you know what Jesus, you know what God says about good works? In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, listen what he says. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, dirty, bloody, stinking, rotten rags. That's your works. And you think you're going to get to heaven by your works. God have mercy to open your eyes. Why, we're told in Ephesians, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. In Romans, Paul says, but to him that believeth, but to him that worketh not, but believeth, you have to have Jesus. Now, how do I know I'm going to get into heaven? All right. Let's look up Isaiah 61, verse 10. When I accept Jesus, he puts his righteousness on me. I'm clothed, I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is in me. Like a sponge in a bucket of water. Is the sponge in the water, or is the water in the sponge? Jesus just saturates me, and he fills, and he covers me with his righteousness. And this is what we read in Isaiah 61, verse 10. This is the one who puts his faith in the Lord Jesus, into God, like we do in Jesus. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Why? For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. And what Isaiah is telling us, God is telling us, Isaiah 61, verse 10, when we accept Jesus, he covers me with his righteousness. And when we stand before the throne of God, before the gates to enter heaven, they can't turn me away because I'm in Jesus, and they'd have to turn Jesus away, you see? Now, if you're in the law, you don't have grace, and you never know the New Testament, and you have to trust Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is God, second person of the Holy Trinity. So I hope this dear brother, I'm glad he wrote. There are so many that's in the same boat that he's in. They think they're going to get in because they do more good than bad. And they're lost. Jesus says to those people, I never knew you. He doesn't say you are saved and you're lost. I never knew you. You never were mine. You thought you were mine, but you weren't. You have to be born again. You have to have Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets to heaven but by me. The way to heaven is through a person, Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. So if you'd like to have information on this, and if you'd like to get the new song, if you'd like to give us a gift, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is easy. 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. Shortwave radio, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you'd like to have the new song, you just say new song. If you'd like to send a gift, remember this: we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That is an organization, international organization, and they audit our books. They check every penny we get. We have to receipt every penny we get. They check to see how we spend it. We can't spend it on ourselves, on a big fancy house or something like that. We account for every penny, and the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. You can look on the website. It can see there was an organization. I think they got our budget on there, but we're a member of that, and we're proud of it because we count for every penny we get. And one other thing, if you want to do something that's really wonderful, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you want to get some of our sermons, I think they said we had 300 sermons on there. You can get sermons. You can take them down. It doesn't cost a thing. And then if you want to, it says on there, donate. And you can punch that thing, and you can send a gift from anywhere in the world. We'll get it in U.S. currency and pay our bills. How can you beat that? So now we're counting on you. We're not underwritten by any organization or corporation or denomination. It's just we're looking to God's people. So you should just say, dear God, now, do you want me to, dear Jesus, you want me to support this, something I should support? And if he says, yes, I want you to do it, you say, how much? And then you just send it in. And the Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as the Lord leads. Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Malachi. If you just got a New Testament, you're going to have trouble here. Malachi and the third chapter. And we start with the seventh verse, 7 to 18. Malachi writes, and he is writes, and he starts with verse 7. Even from the, and he has a complaint against the children of Israel. Has seven, the sermon has 7 points today, so hang on. And he says, 7 complaints that God has against the children of Israel. And see if there are complaints for today. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and you have not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open up you the windows of heaven. I'll pour out a blessing that there shall be room enough to not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit from before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? He says, you have said, because it is vain to serve God. And to what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Today in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Eritrea. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Malachi and his faithfulness to you. And we pray that as we see these 7 things, these 7 complaints that you had against the children of Israel, let us see if any of them can be applied to us today in the 21st century church. And if it is, help us to correct our ways and walk with you. And Lord, in our prayers, we pray for the persecuted church, especially the ones that are our brothers and sisters in Eritrea. We know that some of these people are dying, and some are losing their homes and scattered about, and some are being persecuted in so many different ways. And, oh, dear Lord, help them to know that we think about them, that we pray for them, and that we love them, and we know that you love them, and you understand and you know, but you told us in the last days there are going to be troublous times. You've told us there's going to be tribulation in the world, but you told us that you have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so may that be our hope. And Lord, all over our Christian worship hour today, all over the world, help us to pray for our brothers and sisters in Eritrea. And now we pray you'll bless this service and use it to honor your son. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank's going to sing for us, There Is No God But God. And thank you. God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor.
There is no God but God. I know this is true. God made everything. He made me. He made you. There'd be no birds, no planes to sail in the blue without his wondrous eyes to see them through. They say that God made land and he gave it all to man. This I know, he's mighty good and true. There is no God but God, and he knows everything you do. So just you call on him and he will share his love with you. There is no God but God, I know this is true. God made everything, he made me, he made you. There'd be no birds, no planes to sail in the blue without his wondrous eyes to see them through. They say that God made land and he gave it all to man. This I know, he's mighty good and true. There is no God but God, and he knows everything you do. So just you call on him and he will share his love with you. Just you call on him and he will share his love with you.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you. It's always a joy to have Hank sing for us and tell a wonderful story about a wonderful Savior, and you just need to have Jesus. And that's a boy, that's a thing that we push the hardest in our services. You got to have Jesus. And I'll tell you why we push so hard, because if you don't have Jesus, you'll never go to heaven. You'll never go to heaven. You say, oh, that's pretty narrow. Yep, it is pretty narrow, but that's the way Jesus said it. If you want to get your Bible, get John chapter 14, and Jesus talks about heaven and all that, and then he gets the sixth verse. Thomas says, I want to go to heaven. I don't know how to get there. Jesus says, John 14, verse 6, I am the way. I am the truth. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets to heaven but by me. The way to heaven is through a person, Jesus. And you just ask him into your heart, ask him to take away your sins, promise to serve him and love him. That's all he asks, and he's yours. Well, we're going to look at a prophet called Malachi today. And Malachi, he's the last one to preach and prophesy in the Old Testament. And after he had his prophecies, then God has no word given for 400 years. And then he comes to Gabriel, comes to Mary, and you know all that story. So Malachi is a messenger. His name means messenger, and that's all we know about him. We don't know where he was born. We don't know he was a Jew. We know he was a Jew, but we don't know where he came from. But he was a Jewish prophet, and he preached to the society of that day, and he preached against the culture, against the society of the day. And when a preacher does that, he's not very popular. They want to shoot him. They want to do something to him. I don't know what they want to do. But Malachi didn't care what the people thought. He's going to do the same thing. He's going to preach what God tells him to preach. And he says God has 7 complaints against Israel. And so we're going to look at them and see if there can be complaints today against the people today, society today. He starts out by saying that the first complaint, they do not honor God. He says, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be your father, where is mine honor? And if I be your master, where is my fear? You may offer polluted bread upon the altar, and that you'll say the table is contemptible. And so he's talking here and he says, you don't honor God. You call me your father, but you give me no honor. You call me the Lord, but you don't fear me. And then he says, you put polluted bread on your altar. Now, that doesn't mean that the bread was moldy or polluted, but he's talking about the people, and he's saying to them, because your hands are polluted, because you're not right with God, because you're sinned against God and you're backslidden and you're not serving God and you're not putting him in first place, because you've done that, the very gift you bring is polluted. It is not good. And so then the people say, wherein? In other words, today you could say, how so? Today we say, how so? And so they say, how so? And so then he goes on, and he talks about how that this bread that they give, they bring gifts that aren't really there. That aren't from dedicated people. And because you don't call me, because you don't honor me as God, because you don't fear me as my master, as your master, because of that, because you're wrong, so your gift is wrong, and you're giving polluted bread. Second thing he says is that the people were putting God second. In verse 8, Malachi verse 8, and he says, And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it up now to your governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? The men were offering the blind and the lame and the sick. And so God says, I want you to give me offerings. And so what are they bringing? They're bringing something's going to die anyway, or something sick. That was their offering. And God says, and Malachi says, would your governor be pleased with kind of gift like that? That's what you're taking to God. But you see, that always happens when people don't put God first. When they put themselves first instead of God, then they get by with anything they can. But when that God is first in their life, he's going to get the first fruits. He's going to get the most precious thing that they have. They're going to be very careful as they make their offerings. And so it was in the law. It says you're to watch and so that you bring something that are clean and pure and something without doesn't have disease and something isn't sick. And so this, they just put God second because they didn't put him first. And then you remember the story of the little widow woman, and she has two little tiny coins, and they didn't amount to hardly anything, about a penny maybe, and she's going coming to the Lord, and she makes her gift, and Jesus is watching what she puts in the offering. And you know something? If the preacher watched what you put in the offering, you'd get rid of him in a hurry. You'd tell him off. But Jesus said he went with them to the temple to see how people gave. He didn't say he went to pray. He didn't go to preach. He went to see how they gave. And the widow woman comes in. She puts in two little mites, which make a farthing. And Jesus said she gave more than all the rest of the people that put together. And how can that be? Because there was no way to compare the monetary value. And what Jesus is teaching us, he's teaching us, is that what is it costing you to give? Are you putting God first? Is it costing you something to give? And if it isn't, if you can say, it doesn't mean anything to me, I can give it and never ever miss it, then you're not really giving. We're told that little widow woman had to give her food. She wouldn't be able to buy bread that day, and they got paid every day in those days at the end of the day. And when she got paid, she went there and she put it in the offering, because the poor little thing didn't have... just gave her love. She had to love the Lord so much, love God so much, she gave everything she had. So Malachi is saying, you're wrong because you're putting God second. And the third thing he says, they were giving because they wanted God to give back to them. Verse 10, first chapter, verse 10, he says, who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. That is, they were just doing the duties of the temple, and they're doing these things, but they were expecting God to give them something for it. They were expecting God to give them special blessings because he did that. It wasn't because they loved God. It's because they wanted God to do something for them. And they were doing it like an investment or like some people play the slot machine. And they were giving to get from God, whereas we ought to give. The big reason we give is because we love God. We love the Lord Jesus, and we want to serve Him, and we want to bless Him, and we want to honor Him in all that we do. And that's the reason that we make that gift, that we gave that tithe, and we give those offerings and all the rest of it, because we give it out to love. You see, if you, some of them do it because the law says that they have to do that. But if the law, but we don't break, we break the law. But we give because we love Jesus. We had an old seminary professor, and he told about the law between giving the law and the grace, law and love. And he says he's driving along, and his mother's with him. And sometimes he'd speed a little bit. And the law says it's 30 miles, and he'd be going 35. And his mother tap him on the knee and says, "Son, you're going a little too fast." And so then he would slow down. He said, "I didn't slow down for the law. I slowed down because I love my mother, see." And that's what God is saying. We don't do it because we want to get something back. We give because we love Him. We serve Him because we love Him. We have people working on our musicians for our Christian Worship Hour, never given a penny. And they do that, and they give their time, and they give their talent, and they give their gift because they love Jesus. There's no law that says they have to do it, but they love Christ, and they love Jesus, and they love the lost, and they want you to be saved. And so they give their ministry. What a wonderful service. And then the fourth thing, Malachi says, they were getting tired of worship. The 13th verse, "Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it." And so here, if a man is seeking for a reward only for what he can give, if he's serving God just because he wants to get the reward, he's going to get tired of that. And he will, but if he's doing it because he loves the Lord, he'll never get tired of that. He'll never stop giving. He'll never stop worshiping. If he's going to worship just because he has to be, you know, because he thinks that he has to do it, that's going to lose its beauty. It's going to lose its meaning. But if he's going to worship God because he loves Jesus, and he loves the Heavenly Father, and he follows that, he will never get tired of worshiping. And another thing I found that so many times to get people out to worship, you have to have everything just in line. You have to be very careful that you don't have any babies crying, and you have to be very careful so that you don't have the lights are down low, and then you have to have padded pews, and you have to be so careful it has to be just right, warm enough in the winter and cool enough in the summer. And don't forget, shorter sermons. Don't get carried away with those long-winded sermons. And they come because they want to get entertained, and they want to see everything has to be just perfect, or they don't come to worship. But brothers, I'm going to tell you, they go out to watch a football game, and they sit outside, and there are no seats on the backs, on the seats, and there's wind, and there's rain, and there's snow, and there's sleet, and they're blistering sun sometimes, and you're jammed in with a crowd of people. And I went to a football team game one time, and I got jammed in between some good, heavy-set people. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. And I had one of the ones who was screaming at different things, and I couldn't hear out of my right ear for months afterwards. They would do it for a football game. That's where their heart was. But when you get to the church, we don't want to have it too long and all the stipulations. And why is it? Their heart isn't right there. Not because they're coming to love the Lord. They're coming because, it's a fashionable thing to do. It's a thing they should be doing, and so that's what they're doing. And so there's people, and some of these people would abandon the church if they dared, and some of them dare. And how many of you today don't go to church at all? Don't have anything to do with the house of God because you don't love God, see? And when they're tired of these things, and when they get tired of worshiping, it means that they haven't given their heart to Christ and they're not right with God. And that's what he's talking about. And then he goes on with the fifth thing. And he says the fifth thing is they were making light of sin. Making light of sin. Here's what he says in chapter 2 and verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. And he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? This is making light of sin. It's something unsightly. It's a bad decision or something like that. And so they try to excuse it. It's not so bad after all. Then they say, God is love. And oh, he won't judge you. A loving God couldn't put anybody in hell. God doesn't put you in hell. You put yourself there. You choose whether you want to go to heaven or go to hell. And nobody does it for you. Your wife can't do it for your husband. You can't do it for your children. You decide. So don't say God did it. You did it. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're choosing heaven. When you reject Jesus Christ, you're choosing hell. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. See? And so that's what they're doing. They're saying, oh, God just loves you so much. He'll never bother you. See, God says, you're sinning against. He's talking to some of these pastors. He says, I have a complaint against you. You're not representing sin for what it is. Sin is so damning that sin was in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, they had never had broken fellowship in all of eternity, and they never will in all eternity to come. But one time in eternity, God turned his back on his Son, and it was such as a horrendous, terrible, horrible thing that the Son hid its face, and it was because God saw the sins of the world. Jesus took his sins of the world. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he took those sins. And all the sins of the world. And he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And angels came to help him and support him and be with him. But on that cross, he was blacked out in the love of God. And that's how much God hates sin. And yet we make light of it. And we think, oh, that's okay. You don't need to worry. And God isn't going to judge that. And he's a God of love. And he's a God of going to look over things. Excuse me. And so all of this time, we have to be careful. He says, I have something against you. You're making light of sin. You're not facing sin as it is. And so you get out those Ten Commandments and you look at those, thou shalt and thou shalt not, because that's where God stands and he has a moral code for us. And when you read those things and then you get to the Sermon on the Mount and God says, all right, you have the Ten Commandments. Now let me tell you something, even if you think in your head, if you have lust in your head, you're sin. If you have unforgiveness in your head, you're sin. In your heart, you're sin. And don't make light of it and laugh about it, but instead tremble. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. So until we have a clear vision of God, we're never going to be right with God. We have got to see sin as it is. Then the sixth thing he said, you've robbed God by not giving tithes and offerings. He says here in chapter 3, will a man rob God? And he says, you rob me. And he says, then you're under a curse, the whole nation. And then he says, bring your tithes to the storehouse. So now when we talk about tithe, we talk about 10%. The tithe is 10%. And that's what God taught in the Old Testament. And that's what he taught in the New Testament. Because sometimes people say, well, that's under law, that's not under grace. It's under grace also, because in the New Testament, Jesus tells us in Matthew 23, verse 23, woe unto you, Pharisees and you other religious leaders, you hypocrites, for you tithe down to the last mint leaf in your garden. You ignore the important things, justice, mercy, and faith. Yes, you should tithe, but you shouldn't leave the more important things undone. As a matter of fact, Paul tells us, God instructs Paul, and he tells him, for some people, 10% isn't enough, because you should give proportionately. He tells us that as God has prospered us, we need to give as God prospers us. And some people need to give a tithe, and some people give 10 and 20 and 30. And we all know the story of Laterno, who gave 90% to the Lord. And so when he calls us, she says, you're robbing me because you're not giving these tithes and these offerings. And that's a thing. And so he makes a call. He says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. And he says, bring them in proportion as you love me. And then he challenges them. He says, prove me now herewith. And here's his proof, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. He says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. And so he's telling us going to happen. Challenge me and make your gifts and let me bless you and see if I won't bless you and help you. And then he gives a promise and he says, prove me now, prove me if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That word really means until there will not be sufficiency. That is, I'll pour out blessings until I don't have any more to give. And when will that be? Never. And God is challenging the people. And then the seventh thing, and this is what he says, the people were misrepresenting God. He says this in verses 13 and 14 of the third chapter. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein have we spoken to such against thee? And he says, ye have said it is vain to serve God, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. These people were misrepresenting God. They were misrepresenting God. They were hypocrites. They were saying, I believe this, and they get up in church and they say, thy will be done, and I'll serve you and do all the Lord's work. And then you go out and you cheat, and you cheat God and you cheat your fellow man. And God says, you're misrepresenting me. And you're my representatives in the world. And when you do that, when you get the man that gets up and says, I hate God, he's no bother. Don't worry about him. But the man who says, I love God, and then goes out and misrepresents God by cheating his brothers or not giving to God, he is the one that that's not God. He's misrepresenting God. And that was his complaint. And so God says in chapter 3 and verse 16, he tells us what happened. Malachi tells us what happened. He's given all these complaints now to the people of Israel, to the society of their day. And this is what happened. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened, and he heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. A lesson, friends. I know every time I preach that wonderful word of God, there's going to be some people that will brush it away and have nothing to do with it. There'll be some that'll say, I'll think about it and I'll put it off to another day. But I know this. I know that every time we preach on the Christian Worship Hour and we preach that glorious gospel of salvation, I know there'll be them, like it says here, then they that feared the Lord, there'll always be a response. And I'm praying today that you'll be in that party. Maybe you've drifted from the Lord. Maybe you never knew the Lord. Maybe you denied the Lord and you'll need to come back to him. And maybe you have not ever been born again. And Jesus says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, has everlasting life the minute you believe. And then he's not done. And he says, and shall not come into condemnation. You won't go into hell, but you are passed from death to life, eternal life, from eternal death to eternal life. John 5:24, that's my favorite verse. That was the verse as a teenager. I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. And for years I worried. And then I came to Jesus. So you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Send your gifts and send your prayer requests. And if you accept the Jesus, you let us know and we'll send you literature. Now I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you have the door open to all who will repent and come to you. And so we're just praying today that you'll help multitudes come, and multitudes who drifted away will come back and will please you. Lord, we're praying for those who are on sick beds and those who are shut-ins. We're praying for those that are lonely and those who are weary, and they're praying for those who are in sin, far off from you, and they think everything is hopeless and you never have anything to do with them, but you love them and you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And help them to pray and say, Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And dear Jesus, I'll serve you the best I can and thank you. May there be multitudes that will do that. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you all for being with us. Thank you for opening your doors. Thank you for worshiping with us. And someday we're going to see you face to face. We're going to see Jesus first. Then we're going to see you and we're going to meet you and see where you used to live and where you came from and how you accepted Jesus. We're all going to be together, but you have to have Jesus. So until next week, God bless you. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. Love you very much.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.